Genesis 29, beginning in verse 1. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, "My brethren, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." And he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well, and look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." Then he said, "Look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep, and go and feed them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together, and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, and lifted up his voice, and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative, and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass, when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely, you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed there with him for a month. Let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and this time to come together. We do pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive from you, to hear from you. We pray that you bless our time here, that you minister to us. We thank you for being so faithful to us, for loving us, and speaking to us, and leading us, and working in our lives without fail. And we just pray for faith this evening. We pray for your presence and your spirit to be effective, to be present on our behalf. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening we're going to be talking about why good things and bad things happen to good and bad people. We read in Romans before we started that God works all things, good and bad, together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. We're going to just look at Jacob here, and we're going to just look at some different things going on, circumstances, some good things, some bad things, and see if we can draw from it in our own lives. First, we see here Jacob. He's on his journey, left his family, his people, his land in obedience, and here he comes to the land, and everything falls right in place perfectly. It couldn't go any better. He goes right to this group of people, and he said, "Who are you guys? Where are you from?" "We're from Haran." "Well, that's the people I'm looking for. That's the place I'm going." "Do you know Laban?" "We know him." "Well, perfect." In fact, here comes his daughter, Rachel. Now, Rachel, we're going to find out later in the chapter, is very beautiful in form and appearance. So here comes this beautiful young lady, the daughter of Laban. Now remember, he's going here to find a wife of the children of Laban. He shows up and this beautiful woman comes, this daughter of Laban. Everything just lines up and falls together perfectly. We know that Jacob is kind of an inside guy. He cooks. His brother was the hunter, the outdoorsman. Probably not necessarily a real strong fellow. But when this beautiful girl came up, he mustered all his strength and he rolled the big heavy stone away all by himself. And he actually did it. It worked. It couldn't have gone better. And he watered the sheep. He impressed the girl. Everything going well. We see that he weeps. And I think he was just kind of overwhelmed by how everything was falling in place so wonderfully, so perfectly. Rachel runs and tells her father, And the father welcomes him, greets him, kisses him, welcomes him into his home. So now he knows where he's going to live. He knows what he's going to do. Everything seems to just fall perfectly in place. Good things happening to Jacob. And you think, it wasn't because Jacob earned these things. It wasn't because Jacob was a really good person. We read two chapters ago, a couple weeks ago, that Jacob had some problems. He was deceitful. He took the lion real well. He deceived his father. He deceived his brother. He was a trickster. In fact, his name meant supplanter, deceiver. And he was good at it. And that kind of was who Jacob was. You know, good things were happening to him not because he was a good person, not because he deserved it, not because he was a man of faith, but just because. And it was working out everything just so perfectly. You think, why do good things happen to bad people? Well, we look at Scripture, and the Bible tells us in Matthew that, let me read the verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. God's accustomed to doing good things for all people. It says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God is good to everybody, and he does good things to everybody. He sustains humanity. He pours out goodness and blessings on everyone, even though they don't deserve it. And here, he's doing good things for Jacob. Things are working out and blessings are coming his way. And it's just because God is good. And you think, what's the lesson in it? What's the reasoning behind it? It shows his love. It shows that God's relationship to mankind is always based upon grace. God doesn't approach man and do as he deserves. God is a loving God and desires to do good just because. He's just and he has to remain just. He must judge sin. And yet he doesn't reach out to mankind and only give them what they deserve. He's constantly blessing and showering good things onto humans because he's gracious, because he's loving, because he's good. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that in this the love of God is demonstrated toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, undeserving, bad people, Christ died for us. He did the ultimate act of good and love to the undeserving sinners before they ever did anything to deserve it or earn it. So why do good things happen to bad people? Because God wants to give a basis of love and grace, of his goodness, of his nature to the human race, to people. You know, we look at creation, the world that God put us in. We can learn so much about our God from studying creation. We learn of his majesty, his creativity, his power. We learn of his love as he sustains the earth. The Bible in the Psalms talks about how he feeds the animals and the people. He gives rain. His voice causes the deer to give birth. We see that God is involved in giving good and sustaining mankind and sustaining his creation. And we view creation and we see everybody in our own lives. There's good, and it's not because we deserve it. God is good to us. He's given us good. And here Jacob is, and everything at this point in his life seems to be going good. And he's just overwhelmed by it, enjoying the good. Now, just because God gives good to people that don't deserve it doesn't mean that he approves of the bad. The fact that Jacob was a deceiver, God wasn't approving of his deception. God wasn't saying, okay, Jacob, you be a deceiver, that's fine. In fact, God was going to work on that later. That was going to come up. He wasn't approving of anything bad or any sin. And yet he was able to give good in spite of it, as the Bible says in Matthew, that he gives the rain and the sun a people that are evil and unjust. God is able to give good gifts to people that are bad. that have problems, that are wicked, that are unjust. Not approving of their wrong, but trying to establish the fact that he loves them to start off with, to communicate that. The Bible says in the Psalms, speaking of how creation communicates many aspects of his nature, it says that the heavens declare his righteousness and all the peoples see his glory. You know, the creation, heavens, it speaks to us. It declares to us that God is right, that God is good. It shows us his glory, his love, his grace, his goodness, his nature. Think about Jacob. Here's Jacob. Remember when he first left, he was in the middle of the desert. He found this place. It just so happened to be Bethel. He fell asleep on a rock, and God appeared to him. And he said, surely God's here, and I didn't know it. He learned a lesson that day in the desert. He learned that God is real. He knew it from that day forward. Now he goes further. He makes his way to the land of the people of the east, and everything's going good. And I think he may have learned another lesson that day, and that is that God is love, that God is good. God is not just there. God is good, and he wants to bestow good and do good and love us and express his love toward us. That's the kind of God he is. And that's why he does good things, even to unjust, wicked people. But the story continues. Let's pick up in verse 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So he's like, okay, let's do it. It's a deal. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, or 7 years, and we will give you this one also for the service, which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, so he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. So he stayed there for a month, and after a month, the father, you know, a lot of the commentators say that Jacob met his match in Laban. Laban was also a very shrewd guy, and he's thinking now, what will your wages be? Not thinking I want to pay you, but thinking maybe, how can this work out and profit me, benefit me? And Jacob's saying, hey, I'll serve you for 7 years if you give me your daughter Rachel as my wife. He said, okay, this sounds good. So he serves him for 7 years. Then Laban thinks, you know what? Leah, the older sister, she hasn't been married yet. I think if I play my cards right, I can get another 7 years free labor out of this guy. So here, Jacob doesn't know it. He's expecting to receive Rachel. But Laban plays a little switcheroo at the last minute. And he wakes up in the morning after going into her, and he realizes it's the wrong sister. He's been deceived. He's been duped. He's been taken advantage of in a very hurtful way. He said, what is this you've done? And Laban just kind of smooths it over, lightens it over. Hey, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Another 7 years and you can have them both. Better for everyone. And Jacob really got what was coming to him. This man, a deceiver who had deceived many, He reaped what he sowed. He was deceived. You ever notice this? I've noticed this in my own life. I've not been around very long, and I've not known a lot of people, but it seems to me that people who take advantage of people are taken advantage of. That seems very, very consistent in life. The Bible teaches us that whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. And this is what was happening to Jacob. So we go to the next lesson. Why do bad things happen to bad people? People get what's coming to them, and they reap what they sow. And this is what's happening to Jacob. Now, it's not just vengeance or recompense. But you see, remember the scripture, kind of the theme scripture of tonight. God works all things together for the good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. See, God wasn't just trying to punish Jacob. He was teaching him a lesson. Sometimes we've got stuff we got to learn. And for God just to tell us, or for someone just to tell us, it's not enough. We're not going to get it. And Jacob needed to learn a lesson. And he was at a point in his life where it wasn't enough just to hear it. He needed to live it. And sometimes we're too hard-headed, we're too stubborn, hard-hearted, to learn lessons just by example. But when Jacob felt the sting of being taken advantage of, that was necessary. That was a necessary step in his journey in life for him to learn a lesson. See, God was beginning a process of breaking Jacob. And it was going to take more than this. But this was the start of it. This was a step in the right direction. Why do bad things happen to bad people? Why do we reap what we sow? The Bible says in Proverbs, don't think you can play with fire and not get burnt. Why is it that we get burnt when we play with fire? The Bible says in Proverbs, if you sow iniquity, you reap vanity. Why is that? If you sow to the flesh, you reap to the corruption, the Bible says in Galatians. Why is that? Because we've got to learn from our mistakes. Because God doesn't want to just have his children, whom he loves, whom he's chosen, get away with going in the wrong direction. He wants to make the wrong direction fall apart and feel wrong and hurt and ultimately lead to death so that his children, the ones that love him, that he loves, will turn around, will not go that way. And that's true. The Bible says he chastens the ones he loves. Then we as his children, we make wrong choices. We do wrong things. We sow in the wrong things. And we get burnt. We get hurt. We get chastened, chastised by the Lord. Punished. We get a spanking sometimes. But God's purpose in it is to teach us a lesson. To break us. To open our eyes. And here, why did this happen to Jacob? To break him, to teach him, to reach him. You reap what you sow. You could say that Jacob learned that God is real in Bethel. He learned that God is love when he entered the land of the east. And at this point, he learned probably in a very real way that man is sinful. And that sin destroys and hurts. He tasted it. He probably wasn't very conscious of how much he hurt his father and his brother previous to this. And you could hear by the things he said earlier in the chapter where his mother advised him to deceive his father. He said, but I might not get away with it. He wasn't worried about other people's feelings or what was right or wrong. But at this point, this was something that was going to teach him, not only for his own benefit, but for the benefits of others, that it hurts when someone is taken advantage of. The party that is taken advantage of gets hurt. And he felt it. And he was learning a lesson. Bad things happen to us as a result of our sin, oftentimes, to teach us a lesson. Continuing on in the story, let's pick up in verse 29. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel. And he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Now, though he had to work another 7 years, he didn't have to wait another 7 years. He got Rachel right then as his wife. But he had to work another 7 years for free. That's what Laban was concerned about. But we see here another tragic side of this whole story is Leah. Now, we see that Jacob really was reaping what he sowed. He was a deceiver and he was deceived. But here we have another character in the story, Leah. And here she's put in the middle of this mess, and we see that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. And here, through no choice of her own, through no mistake or no disobedient, stubborn heart, she's put in a situation where she's in a home where she's not loved, where she's treated poorly. She's disrespected. And here you say, well, why would God allow this? Leah didn't deserve this. What did she do to deserve this treatment? And it begs the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Now, we know that no one's truly good but God. And yet, bad things happen to people and it's not their fault. Bad things happen to people and it's not a result of their own decision or their own sin. Children are hurt and taken advantage of. Why? It's not the child's fault. They didn't bring it upon themselves. Why is Leah here put in this situation where she's hurt and disrespected, unloved? Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Many people in the world ask. Well, first of all, I don't know exactly the answers to all of life's questions. But I do know, looking at Leah, the bad that happened to Leah had nothing to do with God. It was a result of Laban and his deception and his choice. He made the choice, not God. It was, you could argue, maybe partially Jacob's fault. But why did he allow it? He could have stopped it. He could have intervened. Well, I suppose maybe because of the free will of man. What, is he going to interfere and not allow Laban to make a choice? But I think more importantly than why it happens is, as we continue the story, what the result is. Look at verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, why do bad things happen to good people? I don't fully know or understand. But this much I do know. When bad things happen to people that don't bring it on themselves, God cares. God sees, God hears, and God cares. God is love, and it breaks his heart far more than it breaks ours. And someone is mistreated, and it wasn't them that brought it on themselves. There's many things in Scripture that illustrate this point. God spoke many times that when people cry, when they're wronged, I will hear, and I will act. And here he sees what's going on, and he cares. The Bible says in the Psalms, one of my favorite scriptures, especially in ministering to people hurting, people that don't know how good God is yet. Psalms 56, verse 8. The Bible says, speaking of the Lord, you number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? There's not one tear shed that God doesn't know, that God doesn't see, that God doesn't remember and hold on to. He doesn't forget the pain of his people. It hurts him too. Jesus, you probably remember, talked about children when he came to earth. He says, man, it'd be better for a man to have a millstone tied around his neck and to be thrown into the midst of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Why? Because they don't deserve it. They're the innocent ones. And it hurts God especially when children are hurt. When people are taken advantage of it and hurt. When they didn't bring it on themselves. God sees, God cares, God loves, God acts. Look what happens in the story. We see that God opens her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." Now we're going to see here there's a journey that Leah goes through. We can learn a lot from Leah. Put in this situation, there's no hint of her blaming or being bitter. We just see that she's put in this unfair situation where she's unloved, disrespected. We see that God sees, we see that God acts, and we see this process that she goes through. She has a child, she's blessed by God. And she says, "God see." See, she realized that God's seen what happened. She, in her experiences, she came to the realization, God sees this. God's watching. God sees, and He's going to make it all better. She says, "Surely now my husband will love me." And the story continues. It says, "Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, He has therefore given me this son also.' And she called his name Simeon," which means heard. So now, as the story continues to unfold, she says, God sees and God hears. You notice her whole experience through this is connected, especially at least the part that's recorded. It's all about her experience between the experiences between her and God. In her pain and in her hard situation, she brought it to God. And she learned that God's seen. And she had hope that God would fix it. And then she continued to go forward in life. And then she was brought to another step where she, no, God doesn't just see, God hears. And He's going to fix it. And He has hope that He's going to fix it. Instead of looking at her husband or her father or anyone else and getting bitter, she keeps her eyes on God and she's learning more about God. She's becoming more intimate with God. Her eyes are being opened to God's realness and His tender love and mercy. And she sees, that God hears, and she has hope that He's going to intervene. Look at verse 34. "So she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Now, this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons.' Therefore his name was called Levi, attached." Continuing on, God's blessing her a lot. She's having lots of kids. The third kid, now she's really got hope. This is going to be it. God's going to make him attached to me. God's going to fix it. God's going to work it out. Having hope. God's going to make it to where I'm loved. And my husband will attach to me, will be attached to me. Then look at verse 35. "And she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Now I will praise the Lord.' Therefore she called his name Judah." Then she stopped bearing. The fourth child. Interesting, after the fourth child, she stopped bearing. This journey came to a culmination here where she had the fourth child and she learned the lesson. I'm just going to praise God for the blessings. I'm going to put the idea that my husband doesn't love me aside for now. And I'm going to praise God for my four children. See, she had a whole experience. She went from point A to point B, and she made a journey, and she came to a destination, and things were different now. She was a different person. Here she's still unloved. Her husband feels no differently about her. Her husband loves Rachel better. She's still disrespected, but she doesn't care. She's blessed. Not that she doesn't care at all, but she's learned to appreciate God's blessings in the midst of pain. She's seen God sees, God hears, and God's going to make it better, but then she realized, God already has made it better. And even if my husband is not attached to me, I will praise the Lord, for He has blessed me. So you look at Leah, and we ask ourselves, you could say, you know, in keeping with the points that we're making, why do good things happen to good people? Again, there are no good people except for God. And yet, when people do it right, when people don't get bitter, when people wait on God, when people have faith, and God blesses that, that's a good thing. Why does He do that? So that He will be praised so that he will be honored and glorified. See, God makes it a point. He makes it his practice to bless those who wait on him, who believe, who do it right. He's looking. His eyes go to and fro, looking for those that he can make himself show his power on behalf of, that'll trust in him, that'll wait on him. He's looking for opportunities to bless people that do it right. That in a situation where it would be very natural to be bitter and hateful, people say, I don't want to be bitter and hateful. Help me. And he's looking for the downcast, the hurt, the lonely, the those that are taken advantage of, those that have been given a bad rap, and yet those that still want to hope and believe and make it right and not turn ugly. He's like, I want to act on that person. I want to bless that person. I want to make things right. I want to be glorified in that person's life. We can learn a lot from Leah. God is good and to be praised. He does good to those that do it right, so that he receives praise, glory, honor, and as an example to others. See, when a person chooses not to get bitter, God wants to bless that person so people will see what it's like, what the benefit is of trusting God, of waiting on God. God loves to use people as an example. We have lots of examples through Scripture. If we look around, we'll find a lot of good examples of people that waited on the Lord. And God loves to bless people for an example for others. Also, he does it to prove his word. See, there's promises in his word. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. The promise that someone that waits on God is going to continue to go forward. They're going to finish. They're going to fly. They're going to soar in life. And God has to prove his word true. So when he finds people waiting on him, he's going to act. He's going to come through. He's going to bless. So we learn from Jacob and Leah in this whole situation that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I just encourage all of us to think about our lives. Is there anything good in your life? Thank God for it. Attribute it to God. Be grateful, thankful. Give him glory and praise for the good in your life. Man, even Leah would have to say she didn't deserve it. God was good, and he was to be praised. Is there anything bad in your life? I think all of us can find some good and some bad in our lives. Why is that good thing or that bad thing in your life? The Bible says that God wants to work it together for the good. In fact, he promises to work it together for your good. If you're called, if you love him. So, is he teaching you a lesson? Is he chastening you, breaking you, chastising you? Is he just giving you an opportunity to trust him when it's hard so that he can come through and bless you? You know, another question, why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. But I know that in many situations, and in every situation of a believer, God wants to take that bad and make it not only something good, but something great. You see, horrible things happen to people. And then you see how people will trust God with it. In the end, amazingly, they said, it was a good thing after all. We just watched a movie about the girl that got her arm bitten off by a shark. And there's a line towards the end of the movie where, you know, she doesn't understand. She questions God. She tries to surf. Everything falls apart in her life. She's frustrated. But she goes on a mission trip. She believes that there's a purpose. She trusts. She learns to surf. And God blesses her and uses her loss of an arm as a tool to reach people. And one of the reporters asked, if you could do it over, would you not go surfing that day? And she says, I wouldn't change anything because I've learned that I can embrace more people with one arm than I ever could with two. And you find many illustrations of that. People have horrible things happen to them. But God turns it into something good. To where they say, I'm glad it happened, believe it or not. I always think about Johnny Erickson Tata, as she, young athlete, jumped over a bridge and paralyzed from the neck down even to this day. Lost everything, all the mobility. She's such a precious, joyful woman that trusts God. And when she speaks about trusting God, you gotta listen, man. She demands respect. And God uses her mightily. I don't know why bad things happen oftentimes, but I know that I've seen God make it good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask for the grace and the faith and the patience and the perseverance to trust you with our own things. Anything bad in our lives, Lord, may we not get bitter. May we not blame you. May we trust you. Give us strength and help us through. Lord, we thank you for all the good you've given us. Help us to recognize that we're blessed, to thank you and praise you and give you glory for all the good you've done, to expect, to have hope that you will do good things yet still in our future. You have good plans for us. And yet, to know that we're not immune from bad. Pray for strength to get through any pain or suffering, that you be glorified through it. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.